Vibhavalambanam, the qualities of Krishna, Krishna Guna, the 64 qualities of Krishna, act as the part of the stimulus or the foundation for rasa to be experienced, Vishayalambana, called Vishayalambana. We want to discuss a little bit about this tasting again of rasa, how one actually tastes rasa. So there's some requirements. Who is actually eligible to taste rasa? So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one verse, Madhilila chapter 23, verse 94, 95, explains after the prolonged influence of sadhana bhakti, it will cause the heart to become purified and to become a fit receptacle for Krishna's Shuddha Sattva potency to enter one's heart. And then this will cause all material desires to cease and impart one liberation. So some of the qualifications or eligibility for tasting rasa is that one, first of all, the interest in Bhagavad. A devotee must have an attraction for Bhagavad. In other words, an habitual thirst to hear and chant about Krishna's names, form, qualities, and pastimes. Or an acute attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. Second characteristic, he must have an exceptional thirst to associate and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Rasika Bhaktas. In other words, a strong hankering to hear and relish Krishna Katha with Rasika Bhaktas. Due to a Rasika Bhakta's expansive stock of Krishna Bhakti, waves of nectar emanate from his Harikatamrita. Rati is excessive in his heart. As a result, those who hear such nectar experience ananda and similarly become attracted to such devotional topics. And the third characteristic is serving Govinda's lotus feet. One must have the conviction that the happiness of serving Govinda's lotus feet is one's only possession in life. Govinda Seva. In other words, you must realize that serving the lotus feet of Krishna or Govinda is the only real happiness. And this conviction, this, such a conviction makes the tasting of rasa. Without this conviction, if one doesn't have this conviction that serving Krishna's feet is everything, and the only happiness in life, and there's no other happiness, then he'll never be able to taste rasa, bhakti rasa. Now another point, fourth qualification for tasting rasa is rag bhakti. One must be constantly hankering to engage in antaranga sadhana. What does antaranga sadhana mean? The internal limbs. You must be very anxious to do internal sadhana, which means mainly lila smarana. Performed with any of the 64 limbs of bhakti, such as which are subordinate to kirtan. The best to do lila smarana simultaneously with kirtan. In Ramananda Roy's teachings, Lord Chaitanya asked which song should the jiva accept. Ramananda Roy said, songs about Radha and Krishna's loving affairs are most meaningful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was continually relishing mellows Radha Govinda's Vrindavan Leela. He would hear Swarup Damodar perform Padavali Kirtan, and then Lord Chaitanya would become merged in oneness with these pastimes. So many of Lord Chaitanya's associates composed Padavali Kirtan, which is Kirtan describing in beautiful Bengali poetry the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's sometimes called Leela Kirtan. Beautiful songs which would help assist Lord Chaitanya's preaching of Raja Prem Dharma, such as Vasudev Ghosh, Narahari Sarkar, Rari Gupta, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, and Shivananda Sen. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he explains that rasa is like a divine wonder caused by the combination of these different ingredients such as vibhav, sthaibhav, etc. So without experiencing this divine wonder, none of these single ingredients may be called rasa. Just like yogurt is enjoyable with its own taste, but yogurt alone does not produce a wondrous flavor. Yet when yogurt is mixed with sugar, the taste increases. And then when one adds ghee, camphor, cardamom, and honey, it becomes a most scented and flavorful beverage, which is called rasala. When one drinks this rasala, which is a very exotic yogurt drink, it produces an uncommon delight. So one sthaibhav is compared to the yogurt, and when you add these other ingredients, like vibhav, anubhav, sattvikbhav, vyavacharibhav, those are the different condiments which give that wondrous, pleasurable taste that brings about this bhakti ras. Bhakti Siddhanta says it is by practice of constantly meditating that Krishna manifests himself in the heart. By the grace of Krishna, even an ignorant person is enabled to realize the nature of the ocean of rasa. So udipans are stimulants for ecstatic love. These are objects that excite emotion. So they can include the qualities of Krishna and the gopis, their names, ecstatic dancing, flute music, milking the cows, Krishna's ornaments, the gopis' ornaments, songs about Krishna and the gopis, the signs on the lotus feet of Krishna, the bodily fragrance of Krishna and the gopis, the remnants of flower malas, peacock feathers, gunjamala, ornaments, earrings, and ornaments on Krishna's ears and head, the sight of a rain cloud, so the items that incite the remembrance of the loving relationship with Krishna are called the udipanas. The more prema awakens, the more udipanas can be observed around oneself. When Krishna is feeling deeply anxious to meet Radharani, he sees everything as an object of stimulating his love for her. So everything in his environment becomes an udipana for remembering Radharani and thinking of Radharani. He sees the foam on the waves of the Yamuna and thinks, oh, this is Radharani's pearl necklace. And he sees the flowers and the trees and he thinks, oh, this is Radharani's beautiful smile. So chapter 21, Qualities of Krishna. These are the Vishaya Lambana. Nice description here in the beginning. First few paragraphs. So it's describing the sarup, or Krishna's own form, how it stimulates the devotee's love. Krishna's sarup, or personal form, has two divisions. One is called covered, which means avrita. Avrita rup, covered, or disguised. In other words, Krishna sometimes dresses as a female manicurist, or as a female fruit seller, or doctor, or singer, so many different disguises, so he can meet with Radharani, or do manbhanga, and Brahman. And the other form which stimulates the devotee's love is Prakat Rup, which is Krishna's fully manifested form. So this Avrita Rup is when Krishna disguises himself by different kinds of dress, then his personal feature is covered. And reference is given from Uddhava's telling from Bhagavatam, how wonderful it is that this woman is attracting my ecstatic love, exactly as Krishna does. I think she must be Krishna covered by the dress of a woman. The other one is Prakata Rup, Krishna as he is. In Prakat Sarup, Krishna's own form is undisguised, in other words, with his pitambara, morapunk, flute, etc., is the object of devotee's affection. One devotee praised the bodily features of Krishna when he saw the Lord in his personal manifest feature. He said, oh, how wonderful is the personal feature of Krishna's Sarup. How Krishna's neck is just like a conch shell, and his eyes are so beautiful, as though they themselves were encountering the beauty of a lotus flower. So these 64 qualities are described in detail in Nectar Devotion. Firstly, Rupa Goswami lists them here, and we can read the list and then go into the details. One, Krishna has beautiful features of his entire body. Two, he's marked with all auspicious characteristics. Three, he's extremely pleasing, which means that his beauty creates a festival of bliss for the eyes. Number four, Krishna is effulgent, radiant, and influential. That's number four. Number five, he's strong. Six, Krishna is ever useful. Although he displays different ages, he's eternally situated as a fresh youth, Navalkishore. Seven, Krishna is a wonderful linguist. Eight, in other words, he's expert at different languages. Eight, he's truthful. His words never prove false. Krishna talks pleasingly. Krishna speaks pleasantly even to offenders. 10. Krishna is fluent. In other words, his words are ambrosial and pleasing to the ears. 11. Krishna is highly learned. In other words, Krishna conducts himself appropriately with different kinds of persons. 12. Krishna is highly intelligent. Krishna's intelligence is sharp and subtle. 13. Krishna is a genius. In other words, Krishna is expert at improvising original conversation at the spur of a moment. 14. Krishna is a genius, or he's Vidagdhi, skilled in the 64 arts and in amorous pastimes. 15. He's extremely clever, means that he can accomplish many actions at the same time. 16. Krishna is expert. In other words, he can perform different tasks. Many difficult tasks he can do with ease. 17. Krishna is grateful, kritagya. He's grateful for services rendered by others. 18. Krishna is firmly determined, sridhridha vrata. In other words, Krishna's promises and vows always hold true. Krishna is an expert judge of time, place, person, and circumstance. 20. Krishna sees and speaks on the authority of the Vedas or scriptures. And he acts according to religious scriptures. 21. Shuchi. Krishna is pure and free from all sins, and he purifies others from their sins. 22. Krishna is self-controlled. He's in full control of his senses. 23. Is steadfast, which means Krishna perseveres until his work is completed. 24, forbearing. Krishna endures even the most intolerable distress. 25, forgiving. 26. In other words, Krishna excuses the offenses of others. 26 is grieve. Means that Krishna is difficult to understand Krishna's mind. 27 is Krishna self-satisfied. In other words, his desires are fulfilled and he's calm even amidst the greatest anxieties. 27, Krishna possesses equilibrium. Means he's devoid of attraction and aversion. 29, he's magnanimous, or very chivalrous in giving charity. And 30, he's religious. He inspires and incites others. 31, Krishna is heroic. 32, he's unable to tolerate the distress of others. He's very compassionate. 33, he's respectful to his guru and his seniors. He's gentle. 35, he's liberal and devoid of pride. 36, he's shy. 37, he's protector of surrendered souls. 38, he's happy and untouched by distress. 39, Krishna is the well-wisher of devotees and he's easily pleased. Number 40, he's controlled only by love. 41, he's all auspicious. He's the well-wisher of all. 42, he's the most powerful. He torments and terrifies the enemy. 43, he's all famous for his sterling qualities. 44, he's popular. In other words, he's the object of love and attraction for all. 45, he's partial to devotees. 46, Krishna is very attractive to all women. 47, he is worshipable to everyone. 48, he's all opulent and possesses great opulences and vaibhavs. 49, he's all honorable and superior to everyone. 50, he's the supreme controller. He's totally independent, and his order cannot be transgressed by anyone. In this regard, Rupa Goswami explains the conversation between Shiva and Parvati and Padmapuran. He says that great personalities have all these following qualities. So certainly, all these qualities can also be found in Krishna, who is the greatest and supreme soul. Truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, perseverance, renunciation, peacefulness, simplicity, control of the senses, equilibrium of the mind, austerity, equality, forbearance, placidity, learning, knowledge, detachment, opulence, chivalry, influence, strength, memory, independence, tactfulness, luster, patience, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, mannerliness, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, gravity, steadiness, faithfulness, fame, respectfulness, and lack of false egoism. And then there, that Krishna has, it makes 64. And the following five are sometimes found in Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. Of course, when we consider these qualities, although Brahma and Shiva and even the living entities, the ordinary living entities can have 50 of these qualities, and then these special living entities like Brahma and Shiva can have 55, Lord Narayan, and other Vaikuntha forms can have 60, but Krishna and Krishna alone has four additional qualities, Madhurya Gun, sweet qualities, which total 64. But when considering these qualities, these are all transcendental qualities in relation to Krishna. If Krishna has these qualities, he has them in full measure and as deep and as the ocean. In other words, he has an unlimited quantity of each one of these qualities, an unlimited and unfathomable quantity and amount of each one of these qualities. And even though the living entities may have 50 of these qualities, their extent of them or the depth or quantity of them is severely limited. So this 51st quality is that Krishna is changeless. He's never controlled by the dictates of Maya. 52, Krishna is all cognizant. He knows the heart of everyone, and he knows all things. 53, ever fresh. The beauty, the transcendental sweet beauty of Krishna is new at every moment, and so astonishing. It appears as if it was never experienced before. So that's the meaning of being ever fresh. So he's all cognizant, which means he knows everyone's heart. That means sarvajna, all-knowing. And then he's ever fresh, dhavayovana. Satchitananda, he possesses an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is a concentrated embodiment of existence, consciousness, and bliss. Sat means that Krishna pervades all time and place. Chit means he is self-manifested, and Ananda means he's the abode of unadulterated prema. Satchitananda. 55 means he possesses all mystic perfections, and all mystic powers are under Krishna's control. So now there's five other qualities that Krishna has, which are also manifest in Mahavishnu and Narayan. 56, Krishna has inconceivable potency, by which he creates the universes and manifests everything. He's the indwelling antaryami, or super soul of those universes, and by which he bewilders everyone, including Shiva and Brahma. And he destroys the parupta karma of his devotees. So that's part of his inconceivable potency, that he can destroy all the parupta karma of devotees by contacting his holy name and service. 57, uncountable universes generate from Krishna's body. 58, Krishna is the original source of all incarnations. 59, Krishna is the giver of salvation to the enemies he kills. In other words, when he kills some enemy like Rishtasura, he liberates them. 59, Krishna is the attractor. In other words, Atmara Munis and Jiva Muktas are attracted by Krishna. So all these transcendental qualities are manifest wonderfully in the personal feature of Krishna. Besides these, Krishna has four more. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes. He's an ocean of astonishing pastimes in which Rasa Leela is most supremely captivating. 62, he is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. In other words, incomparable Madhura Prem, which can develop up to the stage of Mahabhav. 63, Krishna can attract all living entities all over the universe by playing on his flute. The sweet mellow sounds of Krishna's flute attract the minds of everyone. 64, Krishna has a wonderful excellence of beauty, extraordinarily astonishes moving and non-moving creatures, which in this astonishing, astounding beauty of Krishna cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. So, now Rupa Goswami explains in detail Krishna's qualities in two ways. Sometimes he says that Krishna's qualities are part of Vishaya Alambana, and sometimes he says they're Udipan, which is also a part of Alambana. So Krishna's qualities are part of his sarup, and thus they're inseparable from him. they are part of what makes him the object of bhakti ras. Once considered in this light, his qualities are included within the description of vishayi, alambanan. But when these qualities are considered as distinct from Krishna's personality, then these same qualities can also be counted as udipana. So as we mentioned, these six ordinary living entities can possess these first 50 qualities in minute quantities. Shiva and Brahma can partially manifest 55 qualities. Narayan can manifest the first 60 qualities. But only Sri Krishna can possess any one of these qualities to an infinite extent, wonderfully manifest in fullness as deep as the ocean. So and the final four qualities are exclusive with Krishna. These unique qualities are not found in anyone else. Lila Madhurya, uniquely sweet pastimes. Prema Madhurya, uniquely sweet devotees. Vena Madhurya, uniquely sweet, all attractive flute, and Rupa Madhurya, uniquely sweet beauty. So there is Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prem Pradeep. He says Udipana is all the qualities of Ashray and Vishay. Particularly, Udipana is the qualities of Vishay, which is the object of love, which attracts Rati. Sri Krishna Chandra's qualities, which are pregnant with sweetness, are unlimited and boundless. Living entities are enchanted by those qualities. Those qualities are the Udipana of the living entities attached to Krishna. Krishna Chandra, on the other hand, is also attracted by the devotees' qualities such as their affection. All those qualities are the udipana of Krishna's attachment. This bhava related to the manifestation of one's attachment is subservient to the bhava. And this further description in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains here a little bit. Vibhav is the fundamental cause of Rati. Has two divisions, Alambana, the foundation, and Udipana, simulative elements. I should say stimulative elements. Or elements of stimulus. The foundation has two parts. In other words, Alambana has two parts, Ashraya, shelter, and Vishaya, object. This is all repetition. The person in whom Rati resides is called the Ashraya. The person towards whom Rati, which means attachment, directs itself is called the Vishaya. The individual soul is the Ashraya, and Krishna is the Vishaya. The Rati under discussion may be called Krishna Rati. When the Rati attains the stage of Rasa, it is called Krishna Bhakti Ras. The Udipana for Rasa are Krishna's qualities, his guna, his age, his attractiveness, his beauty, his form, actions, clothing, features of Krishna. It's called Suram Yanga. The charming beauty of Krishna's gorgeous form is incomparable. The charming beauty of Krishna's gorgeous form is incomparable. But to provide a reference point for limited minds, Rupa Goswami gives some material comparisons. The full moon in the autumn season somewhat resembles the soft radiance and pleasure, pleasing aura of Shamsundar's beautiful lotus face. As Chakora birds thrive by drinking the moon rays with their eyes, pure devotees continually drink the nectar flowing from the full moon of Sham's face with the cups of their fully blossomed eyes.
This ever-sweet nectar bathes their hearts in streams of delight that enlivens and energizes every atom of their beings. The minds of the gopis spin in a thousand circles when they see Krishna standing under a kadamba tree beside the Yamuna in his attractive threefold bending form. Krishna's body displays the quintessence of design perfection, absolutely stunning beauty in every limb. Krishna's strong arms are two columns in the palace of love that crush to dust the pride of Cupid. Krishna's red palms, which resemble blossoming red lotus flowers, refresh the tired faces of the gopis with their sweet fragrance and cooling touch. Krishna's handsome broad chest is the door to the gopis' treasury room of prema. The middle of Krishna's body is a terrace in the palace of Radharani, wherein she sports and sometimes rests. Krishna's hips are dens where a lion named Hari waits to pounce on the curious eyes of the Brajagopis. Krishna's shapely thighs, which rival the powerful trunks of elephants, serve as pillars to tie up the lusty minds of the Brajagopis. Sri Krishna's complexion is the color of a blue lotus flower or a blue sapphire, and it is as enchanting as a tamal tree or a group of black clouds. Krishna is an ocean of nectarine handsomeness. Sri Govinda wears yellow garments and a garland of forest flowers. Gokulananda is decorated with various jewels, and he is a great reservoir of the nectar of many transcendental pastimes. Radhika Raman has long curling hair, and he is anointed with many fragrant scents. Shamsundar's handsome crown is decorated with many different flowers. Sri Gopinath's handsome forehead is decorated with tilak markings and curling locks of hair. The playful movements of Damodar's raised dark eyebrows enchant the hearts of the gopis. Murli Manohar's rolling eyes are as splendid as red and blue lotus flowers. Vrindavan Chandra's ears and cheeks are decorated with earrings made of various jewels. Madhava's handsome face is as splendid as millions of moons. Sri Krishna speaks many charming jokes and his chin is exquisitely handsome. Govardhana Dari wears a locket on his chest containing a picture of Sri Radha. Decorated with a necklace of pearls, the beauty of Brajendra Nandan's neck enchants the residents of the three planetary systems. Adorned with a necklace of pearls and the Kastuba gem, which shines like lightning, Mukunda's handsome chest longs to enjoy the company of the beautiful gopis. Krishna received his Kastuba jewel from the wives of the Kaliya serpent, who gave this jewel to Krishna Chandra with their own hands. Ornamented with bracelets and armlets, Marupati's arms hang down to his knees. Gokula Chandra's reddish lotus hands are decorated with various auspicious signs. Radhanath's charming abdomen is the pleasure abode of perfection. Radharaman's nectarine back seems to beg for the playful touch of the beautiful gopis. The nectarine lotus flower that is Rasa Bihari's hips bewilders Cupid. Rasaraj, Sri Krishna's knees are very splendid, charming, and handsome. Murari's thighs are like two beautiful plantain trees that charm the hearts of all women. Madan Mohan's charming lotus feet are decorated with jeweled ankle bells. Shams' naturally reddish feet reflect the radiance of roses, and they are decorated with various auspicious markings. Govardhan Nath's handsome lotus feet are like two oceans filled with the happiness of pure love. And Brajakishore's reddish toes are decorated with a row of full moons that are his toenails. This is the first quality, beautiful bodily features. The second quality of Krishna is auspicious characteristics, sarvasal lakshana yukta. Krishna's body is marked with all auspicious characteristics that distinguish him as the topmost form of the Absolute Truth. From any angle or any direction, all eyes become tantalized by the supreme elegance of Krishna's divine form. Seven parts of Krishna's body radiate a most auspicious reddish glow. His eyes, lips, tongue, palate, palms, nails, and feet are slightly reddish. Krishna has a broad forehead, chest, and waist. Three parts of Krishna's body are short: his neck, thighs, and genitals. Three parts of his beautiful body are deep: his voice, intelligence, and navel. Five parts of Krishna's splendid body show highness: his nose, ears, forehead, arms, and thighs. Five parts of Krishna's body display fineness: his skin, teeth, fingertips, and the hairs on his body, on his head, and other parts of his body. Seeing the all-auspicious form of Sri Krishna satisfies every person in the three worlds. Quality number three, pleasing, ruchira. The wonderful body of Krishna creates a constant festival of bliss for the eager eyes of the Brajbasis, Nayan Mahotsav. The gopis used to relish the beauty of Krishna as a ceremony of perpetual enjoyment. Everything about Krishna is so pleasing and satisfying that a moment without him tortures the heart with a million years of pain. A blooming red lotus flower pleases the eyes and hearts of all men, be they prince or pauper. Similarly, seeing Krishna's body, which resembles a lotus flower in eight places, his face, eyes, navel, hands, and feet, satisfies the minds of everyone. The special feature and beauty of Krishna's body is his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his mind-stealing singing and flute song. May our hearts someday relish the unlimited pleasure of seeing the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar as we chant his all-attractive holy name. Effulgent, Tejas Anvita. The brilliant luster of the Kaustubha gem and other jewels adorning the chest of Krishna can defeat even the radiance of the sun. Yet when compared with the bodily effulgence of the Lord, these jewels appear to be only as bright as one star in the sky. Therefore, the transcendental influence of Krishna is so great that it can defeat anyone. Krishna's effulgent body is influential and extremely powerful. But before the influence of Radhika's pure love, Krishna submits as her student to learn the dance of prema. Although the dazzling sun of Krishna's effulgence lights up the entire universe, it becomes eclipsed by the mystifying clouds of Radhika's maan, pouting mood. And Krishna's universal influence reduces to nil when he falls at Radha's feet to caress them with his radiance. The aura of Krishna's sweetness illuminates the hearts of the gopis and the minds of those lost in the darkness of Maya. The brilliant luster from Krishna's ruby-red toenails mixes with the soft blue glow emanating from his lotus feet to bathe Vrindavan in a purple hue. Krishna's earrings glitter with pinpoints of light, showing the dark eyes of the gopis the way to his brilliant smile. May the powerful influence of chanting Krishna's holy names and remembering his effulgent qualities prepare the mirror of the heart to reflect the light of Krishna's love. May the powerful influence of chanting Krishna's holy names and remembering his effulgent qualities prepare the mirror of the heart to reflect the light of Krishna's love. The fifth transcendental quality of Krishna, Balayan. The extraordinary bodily strength of Krishna will forever be glorified in prose and poetry. As Muralidhar, Krishna holds the flute to steal the hearts of the gopis, and he lifts a mountain as Giridhari to surround himself with the hearts of his beloveds. Krishna is the original strong man. He is the biggest, the toughest, and the undisputed champion hero of the three worlds. Although Aristasura was as tall as the clouds and mightier than a mountain, Krishna effortlessly picked him up and threw him away just like a ball of cotton. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna promises to deliver the power. I am the strength of the strong, the ability in man, the giver of memory and the giver of knowledge. Chanting the holy name connects one to the divine powerhouse. Omnipotent Krishna gives a sincere soul the knowledge power to control his senses, the willpower to control his mind, and the power of love to attract the heart. The sixth quality is ever useful. Vayas Anvita. As a baby, as a boy, as a mischievous romantic youth, whenever and wherever one sees Krishna, he will be overwhelmed by waves of beauty and sweetness. Krishna's babyhood and boyhood are shown on the earth planet in Boma Vrindavan. But in Brajalok, Kishore Kishori sport and play as eternal teenagers, robust and blooming with youthful beauty. Although Krishna displays different ages, he is eternally situated in fresh youth. Gauragovindarchana Smarana Padati says, Krishna Kishore's eternal age, in other words, Krishna is eternally exhibiting this age, 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. Kishori Radha forever remains 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. At this age, Krishna is known as Rasaraj, and he shows his most attractive form enriched with an array of ecstatic rasas. In her eternal Kishori form, Srimati Radhika is called Mahabhav Sarupini because she satisfies Krishna's every desire for love. Explorers have searched the world for the proverbial fountain of youth. Contemporary doctors campaign vigorously to stop the aging process. And reputed scientists experiment relentlessly to discover the magic pill of eternal youth. Stop the campaign, close the laboratories, and take up the ancient process of chanting Harinam. By chanting Hare Krishna, you will drink from the fountain of youth and never grow old or die. you will achieve darshan of Gopinath, the eternally youthful Lord of Love, and you will attain a spiritual body that is ageless and eternally fresh. Number 7. Krishna is a wonderful linguist. Vivid Adbhuta Bhashavit. Nectar of Devotion portrays Krishna as a wonderful linguist, expert in different languages. Krishna knows the celestial language of Sanskrit, the pastoral language of Brajabhasa, a variety of worldly languages, and the languages of the birds and animals. Abounding in happiness upon seeing the love of the forest creatures, Krishna said, "Oh, dear forest creepers, are you happy? Oh, my friends, the trees, is everything auspicious for you? Oh, deer and stags, is everything peaceful? How are you doing, birds? Oh, bees, you appear healthy. Oh, all moving and non-moving creatures, are you all joyful?" One night, Krishna hid in a forest near Yavat and exactly imitated the sweet singing of a cuckoo in order to attract Radhika and the gopis from their homes. Playing his flute, Krishna calls the cows by name, Hihi, Davali, Chandani, Rangani, Hamsi, Chamari. With his eyes expressing his heart's desire to enjoy with the gopis, Krishna speaks the language of love. Krishna's words are grave, sweet, poetic, clever, humorous, enchanting, submissive, equivocal, and philosophical. Krishna always speaks the right phrase at the proper time. Besides knowing the language of earth and heaven, the languages of the birds, plants, and animals, and the language of love, Krishna can speak to every living entity on every planet in every universe. Sri Krishna sits next to every soul as the silent witness waiting for the right time to speak. When a conditioned soul meets a devotee selling Srila Prabhupada's books, Krishna dictates from within the heart, "This Bhagavatam is very nice. You should buy it." When a sincere soul searches for God, Krishna within speaks, "Here is your guru. Surrender to him, and you will attain perfection." To the guru, Krishna communicates, "Accept this lost servant. Train him and bring him to me." If we open our hearts to Krishna and speak words of love to him, Oh Krishna, you are so beautiful, sweet, and kind. Please accept me as your servant and bind me in your embrace. Krishna will open his heart to us and say, "I accept your love and will forever give you mine." Truthful. Satyavakya. Number 8. Krishna is the embodiment of truth, the supreme absolute truth. Krishna's words never prove false. The shastras abound with Krishna's promises, and devotees firmly believe Krishna's words will always prove true. Queen Kunti once praised Krishna for upholding his promise to bring the Pandavas back after the battle of Kurukshetra. She said, "Even the sunshine may one day become cold, or the moonshine may become hot, but still your promise will not fail." Krishna promises to reciprocate in proportion to our surrender. He also promises to free us from sinful reactions and deliver us to the spiritual world. With faith in Krishna's words, the devotee offers himself to Krishna and enters the Sat Dham, the eternal spirit, the eternal abode of truth. To attain Krishna's association, one must always be truthful. Harinam Chintamani states that there are only two real truthful things in the material world, the living entity and the holy name of Krishna. So being truthful means to always chant Hare Krishna. Truth is eternal, and one who speaks the truth, lives the truth, and serves the truth will never die. Number 9, pleasing talker, Priyam Vad. One who speaks pleasingly, even to offenders, is called a pleasing talker. Krishna spoke gently to his enemy Kaliya after defeating him. My dear king of snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. Once Bhrigu Muni kicked Krishna on the chest. In response, Krishna said, I know that your feet are very soft like lotus flower, and that my chest is as hard as a thunderbolt. I am therefore afraid that you may have felt some pain by touching my chest with your feet. Let me massage your feet to relieve the pain you have suffered. Number 10 is fluent, Bhavadukha. Krishna is fluent because he speaks meaningful words with all politeness and good qualities. Krishna's words are ambrosial and pleasing to the ears. After Krishna politely convinced Nanda Maharaj to stop the Indra Yajna, one gopi remarked, Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if he was pouring nectar into the ears of all present there. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? Uddhava describes Krishna's speech. The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart even of his opponent. His words can immediately solve all the questions and problems of the world. Although Krishna does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meaning. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart. Krishna's voice eternally resounds in the pages of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. At any time or place, devotees can read these immortal scriptures and fill their minds and hearts with the sweet, satisfying nectar of Krishna's convincing words. Number 11. Highly learned, Supandita. Knowledge, Vidya Shakti, is one of the unlimited energies eternally engaged in Krishna's service. Only Krishna can claim to be the omniscient, all-knowing. Only Krishna can claim to be omniscient, all-knowing. Krishna is the actual source of all knowledge existing in the universe. Brahma, the Adikavi, original learned one, received his knowledge and enlightenment from Krishna, the self-sufficient philosopher, who has been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. Krishna does not require any education, but playing the role of an earthly resident, he attended the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. In just 64 days, Krishna mastered all the necessary arts and sciences. Krishna displayed such remarkable memory power that he immediately mastered any subject. The Siddhas prayed to Krishna as follows, My Lord Govinda, the goddess of learning is decorated with 14 kinds of educational ornaments. Her intelligence is all-pervading within the four departments of the Vedas. Her attention is always on the law books given by great sages like Manu. And she is apparelled in 6 kinds of expert knowledge, namely, Vedic evidence, grammar, astrology, rhetoric, vocabulary, and logic. Her constant friends are the supplements of the Vedas, the Puranas, and she is decorated with the final conclusion of all education. And now she has acquired an opportunity to sit with you as a class friend in school, and she is now engaged in your service. One is considered highly learned if he is conversant in different departments of knowledge and strictly follows moral principles. In all his dealings, Krishna always conducts himself appropriately with different kinds of persons. Therefore, he is Supandita. Number 12, highly intelligent, Buddhiman. Krishna's intelligence is sharp and subtle. Rupa Goswami says highly intelligent means to have a sharp memory and fine discretion. It is said, discretion is the better part of valor. In his pastimes as an ideal king in Mathura and Dwaraka, Krishna exhibited fine discretion in many situations. For example, Krishna tricked the demoniac untouchable King Kalayavana by leading him into Muchukunda's cave to be burned to ashes. Another example of fine discretion is seen when Krishna moved his dynasty from Mathura to Dwarka to avoid the attack of the demon Jarasandh. In Bhagavad Gita 7.10, Krishna says, Buddhi buddhimatam asmi. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Believing that Krishna is the source of all intelligence, devotees pray to the Lord for intelligence and the power of discrimination to advance in Krishna consciousness. Later in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Krishna promises to give intelligence to his loving servants. Bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam. I give intelligence to one who worships me with love. May we strive to engage in priti bhajan, chanting the holy names with love, so that we will receive the intelligence to always remember Krishna and make the right choices. 13. Genius, pratibhavita. Sri Krishna is a genius because he can refute any kind of opposition with newer and newer arguments. He is also expert at improvising original conversation on the spur of the moment. Radha said, "Who taps on my door with one finger?" "Oh, crooked girl, it is Madhav." "Madhav is the name of spring. Has springtime come knocking on my door?" Krishna, "Certainly not. It is the holder of the Sudarshan wheel." Radha, "Potters hold wheels. Are you a potter?" Krishna, "I am not. I am the person who holds up the entire world." Radha, "The forked-tongued serpent king Ananta holds up the world. Are you he?" Krishna, "No, I am the person who crushes serpents." Radha, "The bird king Garuda crushes serpents. Are you he?" Krishna, "No, I am Lord Hari." The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings: residence, fragrance, and dress. One morning, Radha asks Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But taking the meaning of vasa, or dress, to mean residence, Krishna said, "My dear enchantress, at the present moment my residence is your beautiful eyes." To this, Radha replied, "Hey, cunning boy, I asked about your dress, not your residence." Krishna then took the meaning of vasa as fragrance and said, "Hey, fortunate one, I have just assumed the sweet fragrance in order to be associated with your body."